20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into the Wednesday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm Steve Peretti, joined as always by Dusty Evely and Sarah Kelleher. You heard that right. We're all in the same Zoom call together. I was about to say same room, but that's not true. We are not in the same room. We're all on the same Zencaster program together. So, guys, what's been going on? Dusty playing through an injury. We really appreciate it, but let the people hear that beautiful voice for the first time in a while.
Yeah, I don't know how beautiful it is. It's going a little in and out still. I'm not back to 100%, but excited to talk to you guys. It's been a couple weeks, been a long couple weeks. I've been sitting here on Tuesdays just twiddling my thumbs, hoping to have someone to talk to. So it's good to actually be back talking to you guys. So I appreciate everyone's patience on that.
Well, we're glad that you're back, and it's nice to be back with both of you. I feel like it's been forever since the three of us have been together, so I'm excited. I know the holidays are a busy time, so everyone's schedules are a bit different. So it's nice that the gang is back together to celebrate this bye week and then head into the playoffs.
Yeah, it's an exciting time. Packers, not the best outcome in the world in Detroit, but, you know, some positives to take away from it. I think there was some good stuff, but news and notes coming around for the Packers today on Tuesday. You guys hear this Wednesday, so you should know this by now, but Billy Turner has been activated. And per Matt LaFleur, it seems that he should return this week to practice. So that's a great thing, guys. I mean, getting your starting right tackle back, getting your starting left tackle back, like, man, this Packers offensive line and your center and Meyer's coming back too. So, I mean, getting 60% of a line back, like that's nothing but a good thing, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And given how Bakhtiari looked back in his limited snaps this past week, if everyone else comes back looking 75% of how he looked, be in real good shape, man.
Aaron Rodgers is going to have like 20 minutes to throw the ball. It's going to be outstanding. All right, so let's jump in. It's NFL off season for some now, officially, after week 18 is over. Came down today that Joe Judge was fired. And there's also, the Bears are just a complete shit show, man. Like, I'm having a great time. Like we talked beforehand, I was having a little bit of a rough day from work yesterday. And what I decided to do to make myself feel better, yeah, I turned on Chicago Sports Radio, ESPN 1000. I used to work for them. I loved them. They're great people down there. But, man, they were not happy with the way things were going. You would have thought firing Nagy, firing Pace, they would be joyous. But, no, McCaskey had to hold his press conference and sound like a huge moron and just give people all sorts of fun stuff to talk about. So, Bears fans talking about how they're embarrassed to be Bears fans. It's run like a mom and pop grocery store. Oh my God, I left, that 15 minutes of listening to Chicago Sports Radio. I was pretty happy after that. So, but what were your guys' some takeaways from some of the things that have been going on, coaches being fired and all that kind of stuff? Dusty, let's start with you.
Yeah. I mean, the Judge thing just came down today on Tuesday, and that was like, it's almost like he was begging for that to happen. He somehow survived when he should not have survived in the first place. I mean, they've done such a terrible job up there. They hadn't, not that I've ever seen this before. Maybe I'm sure it's happened in the past, but they went to this last game without a full 53-man roster because they couldn't afford to pay. I think they went in with 51 because they couldn't afford to pay another two guys. So they couldn't fill out their full 53. Because of money things. They've paid big money to guys who didn't do anything. They're strapped for cash. He has done nothing but make himself seem like the most unlikable person in the world. And they were like, we're keeping him. And then he spent the next like 3 days just saying just the dumbest things imaginable. We're like, is he trying to get fired? And then sure enough, they fired him. So that was not shocking in the least. The Flores one.
Did you see the one play, this is the only highlight I caught of the Giants, the QB sneak that they like third and nine from the 5 yard line. Like, I don't trust you to throw the ball. I don't trust you to throw the ball at all. Just QB sneak it.
They talked about it on Pat McAfee, and it was hilarious what Roger said about it. It was so good.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that. It was insane. Like, he should have been canned right after that play. The fact that he made it as long as it is insane. So, he's gone, which, I don't know, good for them, I guess, but I don't know what they're going to do with it. But The Flores one gets me. I don't know. Like, he seemed like a good coach. He seemed well loved. That one's shocking. But the Judge stuff came down today, and that was, since that was the most recent one, that's on my mind. And that was just bizarre. It's just been a bizarre couple of days.
Yeah, the fact that Flores lost his job before Judge is just insane. Like, that should never even have been a thing. I really just can't believe that the Dolphins fired Flores to begin with. Like you said, Dusty, I was pretty surprised about that, considering what they were able to do the second half of their season. But, yeah, I mean, you said it all about Judge. He was trying to get fired at this point. So there you go, buddy. You got what you wanted.
And other news coming out, when you have a very highly successful team for a couple of years in a row, that means people are going to want to start poaching your lower level coaches. So came out today, we heard that Luke Getsy is going to be interviewing for the head coaching position of the Broncos. Hackett has already gotten interest in interviews for the Broncos, Jaguars, and the Chicago Bears. So guys, Sarah, we'll start right back with you, but what are you feeling with all these guys trying to be poached from Packers?
Yeah, I mean, the Broncos are just doing anything to get Aaron Rodgers' attention, right? That's what everybody on Twitter is saying. But I wasn't super surprised. Getsy a little bit. I know he's well-respected and a lot of the players love him, and obviously he's done great things in Green Bay. But with Hackett, we knew this was going to happen all season. As soon as they were having trouble in Jacksonville with Urban Meyer, everybody on Packers' Twitter – and who follows the team was like, well, they're definitely going to probably interview Hackett for the job. And then I'm not surprised that other teams are contacting him. I mean, it would be hilarious if the Bears and Hackett happened. I hope not, because it seems like the Bears just destroy everything that they touch sometimes. And I, for one, really like Hackett. So I wish him success and nothing but it. But it's not super surprising. I mean, when you're the number one seed in the NFC 2 years in a row, and both those guys play a big part in that, and in high scoring offense with, you know, some of the best players in the league, people are going to hit you up and try to bring you on their staff.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, Sarah, I mean, you hit all those notes. I mean, it's when you have something that's been this sustained this well, it's interesting, and it's good for him, because it's always been with the floor coach of the year conversation. It's kind of the same way as, well, here's Aaron Rodgers. I feel like Hackett maybe gets consideration before this if it wasn't, well, he has Aaron Rodgers. But I mean, he's been behind some really nice offenses for a very long time, and they've built a really nice thing in Green Bay. You know, they've kind of made a very efficient, modernized, and yet creative offense that has been sustained success throughout the past 3 years. And again, he's done that throughout his career. So once you have this kind of sustained success, you know, eventually it's the brain drain. This ends up happening. Guys end up going out. And so, I mean, really the only shock for me is that it's taken this long for Hackett. Like you said, Sarah, I think Getsy is a bit of a surprise. But Hackett, you knew, like, especially last year, the way guys were talking about him and the way the offense was rolling, like, it's only a matter of time. The fact that he lasted into 2021, I think, was more surprising to me than all the interest he's getting now.
And Sarah actually delivered with some of the most intriguing news right before this podcast started, was that Amazon, who is going to be having the Thursday night football special. Is that right, Sarah? They're going to have Thursday nights? Okay. Well, it sounds like they're going to make it real fun, because they're in talks and have interest in bringing Marshawn Lynch on to be part of that broadcast, which all three of us were like, dude, yes, this is going to be outstanding. Give the man a box of Skittles and let him just tell some stories.
Yeah, it apparently said it was a studio type show, and that's all they really said. It was pretty brief, so I'm not sure if it would be studio pregame during halftime. I'd have to think that they might cut back and forth during the game, but I want it. I absolutely want it, and I think this would make Thursday night football way more entertaining. I don't think anybody necessarily loves Thursday night football. I mean, we like it because it's football and all of us are fans of the game and we get to watch something, but it's always, there's just this thing about it where you're like, oh, Thursday night game, here we go. And I think if you're looking for somebody to add some flair to it, to make it fun, bring some excitement back to Thursday night football, Marshawn Lynch is probably your guy. So I'm here for it.
I watched Marshawn Lynch. I watched a segment of him in like a middle school science class. like just being, and I was like, I'd watch that man do anything. So yeah, just give him the only thing I'll ask, make it just no edits. Just give Marshawn Lynch, give him the floor, put whatever, slap whatever rating you need to on that to get clear of stuff. And then you just let that man cook. Just don't stay out of the way.
I think one of my favorite things I ever saw him in was he was on Conan before the Super Bowl. It was like him and Gronk playing video games against each other. Yeah. And it was like Mortal. They were playing like Mortal Kombat, not even Madden. They were playing like Mortal Kombat, and it was amazing. So, yeah, any more, put him on TV for sure. Sarah, let's keep it going with you. Pat McAfee show. We can't air any of it on the podcast because there was a lot of F-bombs from the one clip that I saw. But tell us some of the highlights.
Yes, lots of F-bombs for sure. And that had to do with the boycott rumors that I know all of you listening heard and read about, that someone in Roger's inner circle, a trusted source, said that if the Packers make the Super Bowl, that Rodgers would be out of his 90-day testing window. And, you know, he's been vocal about how he doesn't necessarily agree with the NFL's COVID-19 protocols, and that he would boycott the Super Bowl to get their attention, and that he told Jordan Love to be ready. Obviously, none of that is true. That was one of the most ridiculous things I've heard. And Rodgers basically said just that. So, you know, he said, I've given a lot less F's the last few years, but something that I give a lot of F's about are just some of the narratives that go, that are about him, that aren't true at all. You know, he said some things I can just let fly because it's minor, but this was so important to him that he had to respond to it. He felt it was just the most ridiculous thing. And we all saw they had a lot of fun with it. Kurt Benkert got involved. Jordan Love got involved. They were all quote tweeting each other on Twitter. Matt Flynn even got involved. So he said, we had a good time. He called it, I'll quote him, ridiculously stupid, end quote, dumbest shit I've ever heard, end quote. and basically just straight faced into the camera after ranting about it for multiple minutes said, you know, if you're this person out there in my inside circle, you don't know me. So stop acting like you do. So he clearly had a lot to get off his chest there. And like Steve said, lots of F-bombs dropped in that little segment there. They also talked about the game against the Lions, and particularly David Bakhtiari and Josh Myers, and what it was like to have both those guys back. He had mentioned that Bakhtiari was a little bit on the fence about playing, and that Rodgers really encouraged him to think about it and that it might be good for him to get some reps. And he said, you know, I'm not going to be quite 100%, so when I come back, like, you better not expect that you're going to have all this extra time and that I'm going to block for you on the left side. Like, you better still get the ball out quick and do what you need to do. And he said there was one play where on the left side, Rodgers was running around like crazy and he was doing all this stuff and he held on the ball super long and then he ended up just throwing it away or something. And after Bakhtiari turns around and just kind of looked at him like, really, man? Like, we talked about this. I told you not to do this to me and you still did. So he was obviously just elated that he was back, you know, their buddies, and he was super excited about Myers too, and just said, you know, there's a difference when they're in the game. They talked about Hackett and Getsy and just everything that we've already talked about there, and how Roger said, you know, I'm very happy for them. We have a great staff all around, and he really thought it was overdue for Hackett, just like Dusty said, that he was surprised, you know, there wasn't more conversation in previous years around it. They also talked about Matt LaFleur, again, how Rodgers really hopes that he's coach of the year. He said he thinks that it would be a nice bow on the top of really great 3 years, and that nobody works harder than him. And it's not necessarily the, oh, he's there at the facility, you know, late at night, but it's when he's there, he's productive and he's working his butt off to make sure everybody knows their part. And he's leading by example in doing that. And Ty asked a really great question about just preparation. Does it change now that you're in the playoffs, or does your process remain the same? He said, if your preparation is good when, you know, things are going bad, then it's not good enough, obviously, if you're losing and you feel like you're preparing well, but that they want to prepare the same way. It just that the tempo picks up. He said, you know, now we're playing the best of the best. We're going to prepare the same way, but it might be a little bit more high level. We might get into it a bit more because it gets really intense when you're playing, you know, by the time Packers play, it'll be the 8 in total best teams that are left. And, you know, talk about how they're excited that they have the home field advantage, the fans and weather always play to their advantage in Green Bay. And he also talked a little bit about the potential kneel off in the Chargers Raiders game on Sunday night and how if they would have just kneeled the entire game that they both would have gone to the playoffs. He said the only thing stupider than the boycott rumor would have been this. So he was anti this concept and talked about that a little bit. And really, that's it. No book club this week since there's no game. He said AJ Hawk asked him, you know, 10 years from now, what are you going to want to do? And he said, oh, maybe I'll write a book about, you know, something. Or and he joked all the crazy fake narratives about me throughout the years. And we could talk about which ones, you know, I thought were funny. And last thing he really said was, we're going on a run. So I love that from QB1. Packers are going on a run and hopefully they win it all.
Well, guys, it is officially wild card weekend. So I thought it might be fun just kind of run down the games. We've got a couple Saturday, a couple Sunday, and for the first time, wild card Monday as well, which kind of seems stupid. But I don't know. I feel like if you make the playoffs, you shouldn't be, you know, have a game on a Monday and then have to play like on Sunday. Like you should. That just seems stupid for the playoffs. But hey, obviously the NFL does not care what regular fans think, but let's run through the games on Saturday. We'll start with them and see what you guys, who you think is going to win. If you have any comments, but just keep it quick. We'll run through, but first game on the docket will be the Raiders at the Bengals. So Dusty, who are you thinking there?
Bengals, man, they've really figured something out with their offense. They're kind of fits and starts early. They've been killing it lately. And the Raiders, I mean, Raiders defense slightly suspect. They Filon's down, and he had a great game against the Chargers. And they're coming off just an absolute like boxing match, no hold barred, like last game of the year. I'm sure they're exhausted. And then going in, I think it's going to be a boat race. I think the Bengals probably just run away with this early.
I'm also going to take the Bengals for all the same reasons. I think they're just on a roll right now, and their fan base is crazy. So they have that home field advantage, too, that, similar to the Packers, I think is really going to benefit them.
Yeah, we're going to go 3-for-3 on that one. So I'm taking the Bengals as well. The other game on Saturday is going to be the New England Patriots, 10-7, visiting the Buffalo Bills, who are 11-6. So, Sarah, we'll start with you. Who you got?
Yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to this just because the rivalry between those two teams and the fan bases is brutal. But I would take the Patriots. I don't know. I just feel weird betting against Belichick. You know, he's evil genius, and he kind of gives me Nick Saban vibes of, I mean, I know Alabama lost, but typically I just don't feel good about betting against Alabama and Saban. So for that reason, I'm going to pick Patriots.
I'm going to go Bills, but I don't feel great about it. Kind of some of it for the same reason. Josh Allen has had a nice season and some really good moments, but also he still can just do dumb stuff. And one of the things, like what it may come down to, is either just one dumb mistake from Josh Allen, or I was looking at some red zone stuff. So looking at Football Outsiders, Buffalo has the number 4 ranked red zone offense, and the Patriots have the number 1 red zone defense. So that's kind of strength against strength there. On the other end, the Patriots are the number 3 red zone offense, and the Buffalo is a 12th ranked red zone defense. So I feel like that could come down to a stop in either red zone that kind of determines that. Like I said, I think the Bills' talent is better. I think if the Bills are really humming, I think they win this fairly easily. But between Belichick, Josh Allen doing dumb stuff and some of the red zone stuff, I think it's a close game. You know, they have the divisional stuff too, but I still, what I've seen from Mac Jones over the past few games seems like he had that 50 pointer a couple weeks ago, but he's had moments, the rookie moments showing up a little more. And I just feel like that's going to rear its head a bit.
Yeah. And I was going with Bills. You kind of stole my thunder right at the end. I was going to say a year too early for the Patriots, like in Mac Jones. Like, I feel like if this was a home game for them, it'd be different. If this was, you know, he had the home crowd behind him, but, you know, going into that Bills Rockets crowd, like that's a lot for, for a rookie quarterback to take on. So I think I'm going to take the Bills on that one. Then we move on to Sunday. First game of the day is going to be the Eagles, who are 9-8, at the Buccaneers, who are 12-4. So, Dusty, what you thinking?
I think the Bucs are going to rip them to shreds. Yeah. I think the Eagles could make this. Like, if they're able to shorten the game, that they've got a good run game, and the Bucs have a good run defense. But if they can get the run game going and shorten it a little bit and make it kind of ugly, they've got a chance. But that Eagles defense just is not good, and the Bucs are just kind of a machine. You know, they're missing some pieces, but I think they're going to kill them.
Yeah, I agree. Nothing more to add there.
Since we don't have anything officially on the line for this, I'm just going to take the Eagles because I would prefer to see Tom Brady lose. So I'm sure.
Love it if that happened.
That'd be amazing.
Okay, game two of Sunday is going to be the 49ers, who are 10-7, at the Cowboys, who are 12-5. Sarah, what do you think?
Ooh, this is another one that I'm just excited about. I think the Cowboys are going to win. I just feel like McCarthy has got something good there right now. Dak has looked good. They have a great, well-rounded team, and that's what you need going into the playoffs. And the 49ers, Jimmy G at times is just too inconsistent, and they can be all over the place, and they either look like the most exciting, electric team in the league, or they just don't look good at all. And with that, I'm going to pick the Cowboys.
I'm going to go Niners. This is the game I'm looking forward to the most this weekend. And I think it comes down to, I mean, really, some of it does come down to Jimmy G, just because I think if the Niners can establish a run game, they've really figured something out with, you know, the way they're using Debo Samuel and the way they've really mixed up how they use him as the year goes on, and, you know, George Kittle being healthy and what they can do in the run game. They've got a good, really good run game, and they'll lean on that if it's working. They've got the 5th-ranked rush offense in the league by Football Outsiders, and Dallas is the 16th-ranked rushing defense. So if they can get some traction in the run game and really kind of dictate some of that stuff, the Niners win this. If that gets shut down, I think they lose badly, because what the Cowboys defense will bring pressure, and then they just will capitalize on turnovers. I mean, they've got some guys back there, and they've got guys up front that will just destroy the pass rush. And they've got guys who will just ball hawks in the secondary there. So if they make Jimmy throw, if they can't get the run game and Jimmy's throwing, like by halfway through the first quarter, if it's, oh man, we're getting stuff, we got to throw, that game's done. If Jimmy G has to throw more than 18 times, I think the Niners lose this. But I'm going to take them just because I think they're going to break out some fun stuff, do some good stuff with Debo Samuel, and just do enough in the run game to win this. But I think it's going to be close. I'm really excited about this one.
I'm going to go Cowboys as well. I think the NFL really, really, really wants Aaron Rodgers versus Mike McCarthy in the championship game. And I can already see, like, the website, you know, of, like, reminiscent of the Mighty Ducks when Gordon Bombay takes on his former coach. And, you know, like the two dark silhouettes and their faces, like, half covered in black, while, you know, both beards sticking out. Like, I can see it. So I just imagine that the NFL is going to make sure that the Cowboys win this with a few favorable calls. Last game of Sunday is going to be the Steelers, who somehow squeak in at 9-7-1. And the Kansas City Chiefs at 12-5. Guys, I think I have an idea where we're all going to go with this one, but Dusty, let's start it off.
I wanted a tie on Sunday night so bad just because I didn't want to watch the Steelers anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just – this offense is terrible. Just borderline unwatchable. The defense is good, but the offense is terrible. I don't like Ben Roethlisberger. I just didn't want them in. So a consolation prize for them not getting in is just getting just pantsed on national TV against the Chiefs. So, I mean, the Chiefs, they played in week 15, and the Chiefs murdered them without Travis Kelce and with very little Tyreek Hill. So I think, you know, maybe it's a little closer. It's the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. But I think the Chiefs killed this one.
Agreed. Nothing to add.
All right, guys. Monday, the final wild card playoff game. The Arizona Cardinals, 11-6 versus the LA Rams at 12-5. So, Sarah, where are you going?
This is another one I'm looking forward to. And I think the Cardinals are going to take it. The Rams at times, Matthew Stafford, he just seems like I like Matthew Stafford. I never want him to fail, but he seems like he just kind of chokes sometimes in high pressure situations. And in the playoffs, I'd rather put my money on Kyler Murray. So Cardinals.
I'm going Cards as well. I'm perfectly fine watching Matthew Stafford fail. He's, I have zero issue with it. I mean, that was the thing with him going to the Rams is like, have you guys watched Detroit? Like, yeah, they had some bad years, but they weren't completely devoid of talent. And this is just, this is who he is going back to his college days. I've watched him going back to Georgia, and this is just, it's who he's always been. So, I mean, I think overall, and I think with some of the injuries the Cards have, I think, you know, the Rams have the better team. But I think the way the Cardinals defense is playing and the way Stafford is just like, I'm going to give you three balls that you can pick off every single game. I think Stafford's going to be Stafford, and that's the game.
Yeah, I don't know how it's going to happen. Like, he's going to have his Stafford moments, but I feel like they're going to be early. I think they're going to get it come out of his system early, and they're going to advance. Just this being the home game, for whatever reason, I just feel like the Rams are going to be the one to move on. So, because I need another at some level, I want to see Aaron Rodgers smiling at the Rams defense before he throws a 45-yard touchdown pass. Like, I need to see that again. That was pretty awesome. So. All right, guys, we've got one more topic before we hit some questions. So there has been quite a few firings in the NFL. And what we got actually a question from one of Dusty's followers who sent that to him. So that kind of inspired this thought process in my mind. But we're going to take all of the coaches that have been fired so far, and you get to bring in one as a special consultant for the Super Bowl run for the Packers. So you tell me who it's going to be. So the list so far, we've got the Giants fired Joe Judge. The Bears have fired Matt Nagy. The Vikings fired Zimmer. Dolphins fired Flores. Broncos fired Fangio. Jaguars fired Urban Meyer. If anybody picks him, we're just going to kick you off the podcast. And John Gruden, same type of situation. So you really have five coaches to choose from. Dusty, what are you thinking? Where's your head at?
Give me Fangio. I've been a big fan of Fangio for a very long time. And then on top of that, I mean, Joe Barry runs – you know, a variation of the Fangio system. He came up through, you know, obviously he was with the Rams last year with Staley, and Staley was a Fangio disciple before coaching under Fangio. So I think this kind of too high that is kind of sweeping the NFL world a little bit. I mean, that was Fangio was doing that long before anyone else and has been doing it. Has been a master of that, like a very good defensive mind for his faults as a head coach, like still a very good defensive mind, comes in, bring him in as a special consultant, and he, you know, the defense, the Packers defense has certainly been up and down, so I think they could use some help there. And having a mind like Fangio, who is kind of the mastermind of what Barry is trying to do anyway, I think just refines this defense without needing to give it an overhaul. No one's changing roles. No one's having to do anything different. You're tightening some of the finer points. So for me, I really like Zimmer. Zimmer was kind of a close second there. But I think just based on the familiarity with the system and just my love of him in general, Fangio is my number one.
And for me, it would be Flores and Zimmer with close second as well. I just think both of them are the best of the group that has been fired. And Zimmer obviously has a really good defensive mind, and where the Packers need help is, you know, on that side of the ball, if they need it anywhere. I mean, special teams, of course, but specifically there. So Zimmer, I think, could be helpful in that area. And then Flores just seems like he's a player's coach, and that's always a good thing to have when you're trying to have a deep Super Bowl run. It's just somebody that you can get behind and that you appreciate.
I'm actually going to go with Zimmer just because, like you guys said, he would definitely help with the defense. But I feel like Aaron Rodgers could finally sit down with him and be like, okay, dude, what do you see when we play? Like, what were the things that you figured out against me? Because nobody else in the world really seems to have it figured out. But, like, for whatever reason, Zimmer always had good ways to mess with Rodgers. So it'd give him an extra way to pick his brain as well. So I think that'd be pretty cool. All right, guys, we always ask for your questions over Twitter. And again, thank you as always for sending those in. We got a bunch of good ones today, so we'll try to hit a couple up and see where we go from there. So first one we'll go with is Rich Ward. This is more of a Dusty question, so since we've missed you for a couple of weeks, we'll tee you off right away. LaFleur noted that Douglas, Stokes, and Jair are all outside corners in response to a question about putting one of them in the slot. How would you handle Jair's return? Can a cornerback switch from outside to inside easily if they're traditionally used to being on the outside?
So I don't know that you can switch them easily. When I'm looking at this, I always look at what are the traits of the guy that you're talking about necessarily, and just the traits of Jair Alexander, kind of that shorter, twitched up Uber athlete that screams slot defender to me. So, I mean, I think if it's me, and if you want to, I mean, and I've said this before, but I think when he comes back, and it's not so in old NFL, you think of like kind of old offenses, slot was like your number three guy. And so you've got kind of a lesser wide receiver there. So you can afford to put a nickelback or something on him, like someone who's maybe not your top guy. And today's NFL with compressed splits and moving guys around, I mean, Deebo Samuel, they're putting him in the backfield. The Devontae Adams runs a lot of routes out of the slot. It's harder to defend out of the slot because you can go anywhere. That's the thing. When you're an outside receiver, when you're an outside corner, you've got the boundary as a defender. So you can pin a guy to the boundary there. You've only got a handful of releases you can do there. So it's kind of a different way to play it. When you put, I mean, if you just watch Devontae in the slot, he can do anything he wants. He gets that little breakdown stutter step there. He can go slant. He can go outside. He can beat you up over the top. You've got so many different ways to beat someone out in the slot that you need someone that can cover all of that in the slot. I think just the traits that Jair has, to me, seems like a perfect fit for that role there. And you put, you know, Stokes has done really well on the outside. He doesn't quite have, I think, some of the movement that Jair does, at least not at this point. Rasul Douglas the same way. So if it's me, I say Douglas and Stokes are on the outside. And obviously by matchup, it determines I'm not camping everyone on the outside all the time. You can kind of move some of those guys around. But predominantly, I'd put Jair in the slot and then move him around if you need to. And again, depends on matchup. If they're aligning a better guy outside and you want Jair on that better guy, you bump Douglas inside. But I think Jair would be my pick for slot guy just based on athletic traits and what he can do.
Next up, Matt Pickett. Now that the playoffs are set, which NFC team do you think is the easiest matchup for us based on their strengths and weaknesses, and which one is the hardest? And for a food question, what's your favorite cold weather dinner? Sarah, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so, I mean, if we're just picking the easiest team, it would be, in my mind, if somehow the Eagles pulled off a miracle and, you know, beat the Bucks, yeah, they would probably be the easiest team for the Packers to beat in the playoffs. And on the contrary, I'm most worried, again, about the Bucks. I really think there's a good chance that it could be a rematch of the NFC Championship from last year. They're obviously a good team. Brady, again, similar thing. It always just feels awkward to bet against him. And we saw what happened last year. They picked apart the defense, Kevin King, all of that. Offense couldn't finish the game out. So I worry about them and it being just deja vu in the worst way possible. And then I feel like Matt knew what my answer was going to be to this, but soup. All day, every day, chili, honorary mention.
Yeah, and for me, I think it's when we say easiest, I mean, Sarah, you're right. I mean, if it's the Eagles, I think none of us expect the Eagles to advance, but that's the team there. But they're all playoff teams, so they're all good. So I don't want to say, like, this is the easiest because they're easy. Like, all of these present big challenges because they made the playoffs. You know, like, unless you're the Eagles or the Steelers or something, you're a pretty good team. I'm going to say the Cowboys just because of matchups. Again, they're a good team. They got a good offense. They got a good running game they can do. I think specifically on defense, because what they do to beat you with is they've got a tremendous pass rush and they rely on takeaways. The Packers have a good offensive line with some returning pieces. So not to say that you're going to get rid of that entirely, but you can mitigate that strength a little bit with, I mean, Parsons is just an absolute animal, and Tank Lawrence and Randy Gregory, I mean, just absolute forces inside. But I think you can mitigate that a little bit. And then the takeaways, like, the Packers just don't turn the ball over. I think they turn the ball over, I think, with the two Love interceptions the past week, and I think Winfrey had a fumble. I think they've turned the ball over 13 times all year, which I think is the lowest in the league and the lowest in the past 20 years or something like that. Like, and some turnovers are fluky, but if you're relying on a ball hawk, if you're basically, you're saying our ball hawk, his cornerback, is going to pick this off, or he's going to get burned for 50 yards, Rodgers will burn him for 50 yards. So I think just based on defensive matchup, make the Cowboys match up worse with them in terms of the things that they're very good at. The Packers can mitigate that a little bit. As far as the team that scares me, I mean, I've said this before. I think the Bucs are a really good choice. I'd still go with the Niners because I kept saying at the time, I've been saying this, I think, for the past 6 weeks. The time it was, you don't know if the Niners are going to make it. And they had some ugly losses. I said, if they make the playoffs and they get this far, it's because they figured some stuff out. And you still have, you know, Shanahan has given them problems in the past, you know, not the past couple times, but when they're healthy, Shanahan's given them lots of trouble. He knows how to identify weaknesses. He knows how to exploit them with the pieces they have and the way they're humming right now. I think if they beat the Cowboys, which again, I think they will, they present a sizable challenge to the Packers, just because Packers run defense, I mean, they don't care too much about run defense, and I'm perfectly fine with that. They rally and tackle. The Niners, if they find a weakness, and there are weaknesses, they'll just exploit it over and over, and they'll run at you over and over again. So I think for me, that's again, Bucks are scary. Like, every team's a little scary, but I think the Niners are still the one that just kind of scare me the most, I think, at this point.
And your favorite cold weather dinner?
Oh, yeah. You know what? My mom brought gumbo today, which is like kind of a soup, but not really a soup. And man, it'd been a while since I had a gumbo, and it was 17 degrees outside today. So I'm going to say that because of recency bias.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm kind of on board with you guys. Eagles, Bucks, like, that's my pick for that. As far as you guys have pretty much covered everything that needs to be said on that level. So, and favorite cold weather dinner, I think it's pretty obvious where I'm going, and you know, that's chili all day long. Like, that's once there's the nip in the air, like you get that inkling if you make a good batch of chili. So, first batch this year was pretty good too. So next question, Eric Rose has got a three parter. So, how is your voice, Dusty? We worry about you. Your listeners do too. Can't vouch for Steve and Eric. Go screw yourself, Eric. Number two, what's your favorite play from the season so far? And number three, two new Oreos have launched as of 1/3/22, a Toffee Crunch and Ultimate Chocolate. And what are your thoughts? So, Sarah, we'll go with you. Favorite play, and have you tried the new Oreos?
All right. I haven't tried the new Oreos. I didn't know there were new Oreos, which is pretty bad considering we're the Oreo podcast group. So I need to look into that for sure. And then favorite play of the season. Oh, that's so tough. There have been so many that I really enjoyed. Probably one that sticks out to me, and it was just because I was there and I got to see it in person, was Rodgers' rushing touchdown against the Steelers, and just how he was so excited and just all the photos that came out of it. And it just was pretty cool to see it in person too. So I'll go with that one.
For me, let's see, my voice, it's not great. It's better than it's been. I mean, honestly, you couldn't understand me like a week ago. I told Sarah I was going to do the podcast with her a week ago. And then I had a conversation with my boss and he couldn't understand half of what I was saying. So I was like, oh, I can't do the podcast this week. So better than it was, still less than perfect. Thank you for asking. Favorite play. Is that it? Was that the second part? Favorite play from Spencer? There's 1,000 different ways I could go with this. I could go with different – some of my favorite passing concepts. I had one this past week. I've been waiting 3 years for them to break out. But I think when I think of, like, a memorable play, it was the Rasul Douglas walk-off interception against the Cards. And Steve's throwing up his hands.
Sounds
because
like
it's also the one that
he
was going
I
with.
Wanted.
I mean, I was also – you know, there was a couple other Rasul Douglas moments. But just because that ended the game. That was, you know, they went into that game. It was a short week. Cardinals were undefeated. Devontae was out. Didn't have a great feeling going in. Just on pins and needles, you know, the Packers were doing well. Packers were up. And just that interception down in the red zone to end the game, that was huge. So it's hard. I think, Sarah, you talked about this a few weeks back. That was the moment when you were like, oh, okay. Like, this is that kind of team this year. So it was a big moment in the season, huge moment in that game. So yeah, I'll go I have to go. I apologize, Steve, but yeah, Rasul Douglas against Douglas.
I legitimately thought about skipping you. I somehow knew that this was going to be your answer, and like, you had a pause from it. And I was like, I should just go. I should just go and make sure that I don't get my answer stolen. But yeah, answer was definitely stolen. That was my favorite play so far. And then, yeah, I have not seen – I was at Target today. My daughter got her second COVID shot, so that was great. But I always check the Oreos, and I did not see either of the new ones yet. So when I get them, obviously I'll buy them and give you a taste test. But, you know, I would say my best guess out of those two would be the Ultimate Chocolate would probably be the better of the two. So
yeah.
John Kramer, why has Darnell Savage been so bad in coverage this year? How can Joe Barry account for that in the playoffs? And late at night at a diner, do you eat breakfast or dinner, and what do you order? So, Dusty, I feel like this first part of the question is for you, so let's have you take care of that one.
Yeah, I don't know that I've noticed he's been terrible. I mean, he's missed some plays, you know, obviously, and I think that's, I don't know, maybe part of his game. You know, he's kind of an uber athlete, ton of speed. Sometimes he has a tendency to be a little too aggressive, maybe overrun some stuff, think he can get back with catch-up speed or something. So maybe just something he'll learn, maybe something he won't. But I haven't really noticed him being, like, out-and-out terrible. I think he's been inconsistent, but he's I think he's certainly been more good than bad. I don't think he's had the breakout season that many, including myself, have really hoped for. But I think in terms of mitigating for the playoffs, I'm not necessarily mitigating. I think just the way you use him, and you can't, again, you can't really use a guy in the same way all the time. That's not how it works. But when he's able to kind of, when they show that too high look, he's able to sink down in a kind of like that robber role and just wreck stuff, just attack those crossers that the quarterback isn't seeing, or, like, you know, just stepping in throwing lanes. Just, he's very instinctive. Once you get him a little closer down the line of scrimmage, you don't want him down there all the time, because that speed on the back end is helpful. But I think if you can find ways to get him down there a little bit more, just kind of an agent of chaos, that's where he really, really excels. So, yeah, I don't think he's been terrible. He just hasn't been, I don't think he hasn't been amazing. I was hoping he'd, like, kind of ascend to, like, top five safety this year. It hasn't happened, but he's been, I think, more good than bad, but just have him wreck stuff. And what was the second part of that question?
So if you're eating late night at a diner, do you go breakfast food, dinner food? What's your order?
I always go breakfast food. If there's an omelet, I just always go omelet. Just something with a lot of meat and cheese in it.
And for me, I'll just answer the second part because Dusty covered everything there. Typically, I will either order, it's always a last minute call, a burger late at night, and especially if I'm at a diner type place and they have a burger with an egg on it, then I can at least combine the two, so I'll do that. But sometimes I'll just go, like, I know at Denny's they have the Grand Slam breakfast where it's kind of a mix of everything, or I'll do something like that. So it's always a last minute call, but if I can combine the two and get a burger with the egg, then hey, best of both worlds.
But yeah, I'm kind of on board with you guys. Like, breakfast at late night is the way to go. If I can't get tacos, like, tacos is the thing, like the late night special that I would always go to. But yeah, if you're at a diner, yeah, a breakfast food, like a big thing of pancakes or a Belgian waffle is soak up a little the bit of the booze or something along those lines. Last question we did have from Brian Hartstead, kind of piggybacked right on top of Matt Pickett's question. So it was kind of, who do you prefer to face? So we will end it with this food question. And what is your favorite dessert, a cake, pie, or cookies? Dusty, what do you think?
I mean, obviously it depends on which type of all of those, but default is just, if there's cookies, I'm just going to eat a whole bunch of cookies. I love me a good pumpkin pie, good derby pie, you know, coconut cream pie. Cake is cake. I'll just eat handfuls of cake. But if there's just all of those three options ahead of me, just generic pie, generic cake, generic cookies, I'm taking the cookies, man.
I'm also going to take cookies. I love cookies. And you have to think about it this way. A cookie, you can have it on its own, or there's cookie cake, which is a form of a cake. You also could have cookies crumbled on a pie, depending on what type of pie you're eating. So I think it's a bit more versatile than the other option.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to go cookies, because that's easy. There's so many different types of good cookies that nonstop that I won't stop eating, like the, you know, packets of Oreos. Yeah, Oreos fall under cookies. So yeah, Oreos for sure, cookies. But guys, that's going to do it. We appreciate all the questions from Twitter. As always, make sure you guys are following us at Dusty Evely, at Sarah Kelleher 4, at Steve Perhatch, and at Packaday Podcast. Thanks for listening. As always, we'll be back next week with a highlighted featured episode, a 3-year anniversary episode for the Wednesday podcast team. It's going to be really exciting, but before we go, let's do a couple of closing thoughts. So Dusty, what do you got for us this week?
Yeah. I mean, it's great to be back. Appreciate everyone for your patience and you know, you specifically, Sarah, carrying the show for the past couple of weeks. I apologize for the sounds coming out of my mouth now. I am not sick. I have not been sick. My throat feels fine. Thank you to everyone for asking. It's just I just sound terrible and have sounded terrible for the past 3 weeks. So I appreciate the patience, all the kind words and thoughts as I've tried to get back from whatever's been happening to me. Have still been writing. So I've got some stuff, you know, on week 18 here. So I've got yesterday on Pack Report. It was kind of slim pickings, man. I was trying to write about something on the defensive side of the ball, and there wasn't much to write home about from the defensive side of the ball. But I found a nice run stop that had Oren Burks and Tyler Lancaster and Tipa Nalea to kind of combine and do some nice things. So that's over in Pack Report. Today, over in Pack Report, I wrote about the drift concept, which plays off of one of the core concepts that the play-action bootleg passing concept the Packers run. So it's something we've seen a lot. They've broken that up quite a bit. And it's got kind of a cool little wrinkle with a pulling guard in there. So I kind of run down kind of the base of that concept and then kind of where they took it. That's on Packer Report. And on Cheesehead TV later today will also be just a very abbreviated version of my normal column because I didn't really go past the first half. Jordan Love was in. They kind of simplified the offense a bit. So I didn't really dig into a whole lot, but they did. Like I mentioned, this past week, they ran a play that I've been waiting for them to run legitimately since LaFleur was hired. It's called Leak. It's a variation of play action boot, and it was the long Lazard touchdown in the second quarter. So I've been waiting for that. I saw it on TV and just was like, yes! It's the only time of the game I showed any emotion because I didn't care what happened. I was really excited about that play. So I cover that play in Passing Chronicles over on Cheesehead TV this week, along with the only non-Rodgers highlighted play is the DeGuara tight end screen for a touchdown because it was Josiah DeGuara. So I've got that going too. So some fun stuff this week, even if it's abbreviated. Unsure what I'm doing next week. I don't know if I'm going to be looking forward to the next opponent or what, but kind of, you know, closing out the regular season here. It's 18 game regular season. I feel like it just started, but it was kind of another fun year at Cheesehead kind of doing that and looking forward to the playoffs.
Yeah. And for me, you know, no story this week since there's no game. So I'll just be enjoying some good playoff football, and I hope all of you do as well. And then, yeah, 3-year anniversary episode next week, which is insane that it's already been 3 years. Sometimes it feels like we just started this podcast and we're screaming at Steve about Antonio Brown and all of that.
At least I can admit I was wrong.
Yeah. And we know it's all right. We all make mistakes. So just thank you guys for listening over the last 3 years. It's been quite the ride, and we've all had the chance to meet now. Not all together, but we've at least all met at one point, and hopefully 2022 is the year we can finally all meet and be together at the same time. That would be awesome. But thanks just for listening. We're looking forward to another year of doing this for you guys and having some fun in 2022.
Yeah, and just final thoughts here. Just thank you guys, as always, for listening. We really appreciate having this platform to talk to you, talk Packers with you guys all the time. So, and the fact that you always interact on Twitter, make sure you guys are following us, you know, again, at Dusty Evely, at Sarah Keller 4, at Steve Perhatch, at Packaday Podcast. We really always love those interactions. But man, we'll be back next week. It's going to be a really cool, fun episode because, crazy as it sounds, it's been 3 years. This will be our 3-year anniversary. Tip of the hat to Sarah because she is the only one who writes this stuff down. Dusty and I would have no freaking clue that this was our 3-year anniversary. We'd be like, we'd look at each other like, yeah, we've been talking for a while now, huh? Okay, yeah. But I did kind of think back on this and realize that I'm like, Dusty, we kind of got to step our game up again, man, because we used to make fun of Sarah for being young all the time, like, you know, yeah. taking naps as a kid, or, you know, juice boxes or goldfish crackers, all that kind of stuff. And we just don't make fun of her anymore like that. It's just like making fun of her like a normal adult. And it's kind of, I don't like it. I think
she's got a job, you know, like high ranking. She's wearing a shawl as we're recording.
She went to the UN.
It's tough, Steve. It's tough, man. You know, it's just, I don't have the same jokes. How do I make animal cracker jokes when she's sitting there like, in a shawl, like just looking so, like, you know, cold or whatever. You know?
Let the record show. I am wrapped in a blanket, not a shawl. It's actually a blanket that Steve sent Dusty and I both for Christmas, which is very kind of him. Mm-hmm. And I love it. It's a Packers blanket, fleece, very warm and nice. So
shout out to the Green and Gold Zone. That's where I got it, in Milwaukee. Yeah, so I think we'll definitely work on a few things, but maybe we'll try to have a couple of highlights. I know Sarah used to write down a bunch of the random ass quotes that we used to have from the show.
Any of those.
We'd have to release like an X-rated version of the podcast.
Maybe Andy will green light that for once, but it'll be fun. We'll kind of bring back some of the fun stuff we used to, or you know, maybe some fun memories, and we'll ask for some from you guys as well. So looking forward to that a lot, but we will be back next week. You know, wear a mask, be kind, and as always, go Pack, go.